Okay, this morning we're going to talk about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke this morning, and we're going to talk about Simon. Simon would actually be the first disciple who identified Jesus as the Messiah. Now, we all probably know that, and we also know that Jesus was the one that said to him, "Follow me." Jesus also tells Simon that he's going to change his name, and it's going to be changed to Peter. It was going to be changed because he was going to be called the Rock. That's what Peter means, the Rock. Okay? So, but guess what? Let's start it this way first. Simon, his friends, certainly could not see how he could be called Peter, because to them, they saw Simon as an emotional type of character. They saw him as hot-headed. They also saw him as uncertain, you know, kind of wavering a little bit. Or he was very argumentative. Okay? That's how they saw him. Okay? And then it goes on to say in Matthew 16, though, that Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, we know that Peter was a fisherman. And we know that in Scripture that Peter did deny Jesus three times after Jesus was arrested. Three different occasions, he was confronted with, "Don't you know Jesus? Didn't you know Jesus? Weren't you one of those that followed Jesus?" And three times, of course, he denies it. He denies that. But the great thing is that Jesus wasn't calling Simon by who he was. He was calling Simon, or Peter now, by who he was to become. Now, when we think about that, Jesus wasn't calling Simon, again, by who he was, and he was explaining that when he called him Peter, that it was because of who he knew Peter was going to be. Okay, but when we see Simon, when we see a friend who says, I've come to know Christ, and I'm going to be real honest with you, Glenn will agree to this, that when he called me, Glenn called me and said, "I want you to go see my son. He's in jail here in town 3 or 4 years ago, and I would like you to minister to him." And, you know, I was very doubtful. I was very doubtful that I was going to get anywhere with Jeff. He was very happy to see me because he wasn't seeing anybody. He wasn't going to get to see a whole lot of people. So having a visitor, he was happy about that. But as far as whether or not he was going to be receptive to receiving what I wanted to share with him was a whole different ballgame. Well, that's what I'm saying. When we look at a friend of ours, are we still calling them Simon? Are we still calling them by who they were or what they did or what we think they did? So when someone accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, we need to step back and say, you know, we can't go with this attitude, "I'm just waiting for that person to fall because they've messed up so many times. I'm waiting for them to slide back into their old lifestyle." But this is the thing that I want to talk to you about today, is the fact that when Jesus saw Simon, he called him Peter. Now, the thing is this, Peter would identify Christ as the Messiah. When he did that, what happened? He brought Christ into him, okay? Christ was imparted into him, okay? So, let me read this. It says, "Identify an identity based on God's truth will not falter." So, when I look at Jeff now, I see the real deal. That's what Bruce always tells me. He says, "You're the real deal, Bonnie. You're the real deal." Well, after a number of years, I can see that Jeff has really accepted Christ and he's really walking it. When Glenn shared this testimony, this roommate has this dream, but the reason why he has this dream is because Jeff has been ministering to him since they started sharing this cell together. He's been ministering the gospel to him. So he's imparting, and I said, you know, God might have had Jeff in that prison at this particular time for just that one person. Just for that one person. Because, again, God's given Jeff tenacity. He's given him boldness. He's given him confidence. He's given him all the tools that he needs. But would he have done it if he, you know, would he have done it if he was still in the world, if he had not been, you know, put in a correctional center for whatever it is he was put there for? The point being is God gives us opportunities, and sometimes those opportunities, those valleys that we go through, are there so that we can get closer to God, but not only closer to God, but that we can use that tool to step out and to minister to others, just like Jeff is doing. But now, getting back to this, that I just found 31 verses, and I'm sure there's so many, many more, about how we identify in Christ. So listen to these. Okay, Romans 15, you are accepted. John 15, you are chosen. Galatians 4, you are free. 1 John 1, you are forgiven. 2 Corinthians, you are a new person. All of these scriptures, and I could go on and on and on, all of these scriptures tell us what? It tells us that we identify with Christ because we are in Christ. Okay, here's a couple more. 1 Corinthians 3, you belong to Jesus. Okay, Romans 6, Jesus offers you new life. Lastly, Proverbs 3:20, you are a citizen of heaven. So it says, again, God's word is absolute. So the great thing is, all these things that I just read to you about you and your relationship, your identity in Christ, guess what? That never changes. That never changes. It never changes that you will always belong to Jesus Christ. That's resolute. That's an absolute. You are, Jesus offers you new life. That's always a promise. That will not change. It's absolute. That means that he says, what he says about you in the Bible will never stop being true. So when we read scripture about who we are in Christ, that will never change. That will always stay the same. My word is what? Yes and amen. My word is who I am. I am that I am. This is part of who that is. The word. It's never changed. So, of course, we know that Simon Peter, had good days and he had bad days. We know that. Same is true in our journey, our walk in life. We're going to have good days and we're going to have bad days. And guess what? We're going to have crazy days too. We're going to have days where we feel like we are spinning around and or we're dropping everything every time we touch something. Mary, the other day we were doing something and it seemed like every time she turned around she was dropping stuff. And she, you know, and you have days like that. We all can relate to those, right? And what's frustrating is you have to, when you do that, whatever that is, you have to go back 6 or 7 steps and start all over. You know, you have days like that. But I want to show you something. I didn't bring them today. I was going to show them to the kids. But I want to want you to understand something. It's like an ingredient, that are recipes that you put together. So today, I'm going to, today for Children's Church, we're actually going to make chocolate chip cookies. And the reason I'm doing that is because of this. I'm going to show the kids a bag of flour. And I'm going to give them a plate. Everyone's going to get a plate. And I'm going to have them wet their finger, put their finger in that flour, and I'm going to have them taste that flour. And I'm going to say, what's that taste like to you? And they're probably not going to come up with the right word, but it's going to be bitter. It's going to taste bitter. And then I'm going to put the salt on the plate, and they're going to do the same with the salt, and they're going to do the same with the baking soda, and they're going to maybe do a little bit with the butter. All of these ingredients by themselves don't taste good. Now, they'll probably argue with me when I get to the chocolate chip cookie or the chocolate chips. They will probably want a handful of those, and they will probably sit there and munch on them all they can. So I don't know how I'm going to word that. Lord's going to have to help me with that one. But still, sharing with them that these ingredients by themselves they're just not good. But that's what I want you to understand, that we have ingredients. We have a recipe, and that's our journey. It's called our journey in life. Every part of us, there's a recipe. Every part of us, there's an ingredient that gets tossed in every single day. When we walk the walk that God has for us, there's an ingredient added every single day. Okay? So, the great thing is that when we make those cookies today, they're going to be incredible. Now, the thing is, I love it, it says, each ingredient has to be just so. Well, not necessarily. Because my daughter likes, when I make the chocolate chip cookies, she likes a little more flour and she likes them more cakey-like. I think, me personally, I like them a little flatter and a little softer and a little bit more, where you can really taste the chocolate chip cookies. I mean, the chocolate chips, right? I don't know about you guys. But see, I say this is because everybody's different. Everybody likes their chocolate chip cookies in a certain way. Some people like them crispy. Some people like them soft. You know? So everybody's different. But in our lives, God takes whatever our ingredients, hear this, that we give him. The key thing here is, what ingredients that day are you giving to him? Are you giving all of the ingredients? Are you giving him your time? Are you giving him your talents? Are you giving him your goals, your desires? Those are the chocolate chips, right? Those are the chocolate chip part of that ingredient of the day, right? I don't know whether I so much want to get rid of some of that sweet stuff. I don't know whether I want him to take control of some of that sweet stuff. Okay? Now, God can make the greatest ingredients from any recipe that, again, we give him. There's a key thing here that I want you to catch. Our life has been a journey, and God can use our journey regardless of our sin, our past, or if we're in a valley right now. He can still take those ingredients that past that we had. We see that as a part of, that we just want to chuck and push aside. We want to get rid of that. We don't want to deal with that. And we're not to sit there and live in the past, but we're supposed to take that past and learn from it and grow from it and use it maybe as a tool for the future and say, I've been there, I've done that, I did that, and yet God still used me. Because maybe if you didn't do that thing, whatever sin that was, pride could enter in, just like it did with Saul. And then God can't use you because pride's entered in. So sometimes he brings us, has us go through this valley that we did, this mess that we made. He lets us go through that so that in the future he knows that we can say, oh, I can't judge you. I did that myself. I can't judge what you just did because I did that myself. So pride doesn't enter in then. So God allows us to go through some of those situations so that it keeps us humble. It keeps us humble. So we pray that God will take our mess and make it a message. But that recipe for great messages requires what? Great ingredients. Okay? Now, you're saying, well, there's that sweet stuff. There's that sweet stuff, Bonnie, you were talking about. The sugar part, the chocolate chip part that you're talking about, where it's my talent and my time. You know, that's the sweet stuff. I don't know whether I want to give up all that. But when the ingredients are good, or whether those ingredients are bad or bitter, like the flour or the baking soda, they're bitter, those days, we don't so much want to hand those over to God. Why? Because we're ashamed. Because we feel guilty. Don't you think that Peter, when, you know, I've read many commentaries on the fact that you know, some commentators talk about, well, when Jesus went to Simon Peter and he said, Simon, do you love me? And he goes, Lord, you know I do. And then Jesus says this again, and then he says it again three times, that was to take and restore him for the three times that he denied Christ and knowing Christ when Christ was arrested. So there's two, you know, you think about it, you know, there's commentaries that go both ways on that. But I want to use that to let you understand that sometimes when we go through a period where we deny, you know, let's say we're a young Christian and we're a teenager and we want to go out with our friends, so we push our Christian walk aside to do the things that aren't so Christian-like. Okay? But God still uses those ingredients in our lives to make us who he's called us to be. And when the ingredients, again, good or bad, bitter or sweet, if they are in God's hands, if we put these ingredients that we have, ashamed or not, prideful or not, whatever it is, whether it's negative, positive, whether it's bitter or sweet, God takes those ingredients and he uses them. So don't sit there and look down on yourself. Don't let Satan lie to you and tell you that you're not good enough and that you've got too many ingredients that have been thrown into the pot. It's like, oh, what's the name of that occasion that Utica has, their big burgoo? And they throw everything in the pot. Now, let me ask you, I've never tasted it. Has anybody tasted the burgoo? Is it good?
Yes.
It is good. There you go. That's a good example right there, that even though you don't know what's been thrown in that pot, you don't, but you risk your life possibly in some degree by, you know, I'll take a tablespoon and we'll see whether I like this or not. But that's just the same point, is you don't know what's in the ingredients. You know what? As much as we might think God doesn't know all of our ingredients, he does. He knows all of our ingredients. He knows what's thrown in there. And the great thing is, God throws in a little bit of seasoning here and a little bit of seasoning there. And what I mean by that is this. This. God's seasoning. His word. His word. So, God can take an addict. He can take someone's ugly past. He can take someone who is lost, don't even know they're lost. Okay, take someone who is lost, take someone who is broken, broken in spirit, broken emotionally, broken in heart, broken physically, broken financially, broken. He can take all of these people, someone who's rich, someone who's poor, someone who's suicidal. He can take all of these people and he can turn their ingredients into something incredible, into an incredible dish, and make that journey, that plan, that purpose for his glory, for his glory. We know that every one of us, now, personally, I like my chocolate chip cookies. How about you? Name a cookie that you like, Mary. Okay, so you that's your favorite, and that's your favorite one. Give me, huh? Oh, okay.
Monster cookies.
Monster cookies. What's a monster cookie? What's a... Okay, okay. Oh, it's those. Okay. Okay, here's another one. Yesterday when we were doing this cleaning up at the work, I've never seen one. I've heard people talk about them, but I've never seen them. And especially, I didn't know Alfano's did it. We were talking about pizza one day a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about Alfano's pizza, and Mike says to me, he goes, have you ever tried their wheel pizza? And I go, wheel pizza? He goes, yeah, they're this big around. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. And then yesterday, he orders his pizza, and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get a couple of small, three or four different pizzas.
Wagon wheel.
He brings in this wagon wheel. No, it was a Ferris wheel.
Really?
Ferris wheel. This thing was this big around. I mean, I was like, I almost took the whole table. And I thought, do they make ovens big enough to do that? But the thing is, I bring these up because, yeah, let's say pizza. I like sausage and cheese. What about you guys over here? What kind of pizza do you like? What is it? Oh, okay. There you go. Now that's different. I bring these up to show the fact that all of us are different. God created us all different. We're not clones. Hallelujah for that. So, but the thing is this. Along with that package, each and every package that's different, comes what? All of those ingredients. All those different recipes. God did not make us the same. Therefore, our journey. Therefore, our recipe. Therefore, our ingredients are not going to be the same. And guess what? They're not going to measure out the same either. What might be Russ's one cup might be somebody's two cup. And I'll use me as an example. Russ, he's a sweet guy. He probably only needs a fourth of a cup. Now, me, on the other hand, maybe on a bad day, I need a good solid cup of sugar. Okay, just giving you examples. Those ingredients are going to change every single day. But the great news is this. God said in his word, I go before you and I make a way. Even though he still knows what's in the ingredients. And some of us still keep wanting to lug some of the past up. Are you there? Yeah, you're there. Okay, let's go. And you still keep wanting to bring the past with you. And God says, I want you, you do have a past, but I want you to use it in a positive way. I don't need you to carry it with you. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Yes, use the experience to help not only yourself, to remind you, I don't want to go back there. I'm not going back there. I've been there. I know. I don't like it. Or the fact that you say, you don't want to go there. I've been there, and you won't like it. Now, with that being said, we know, again, that everyone is different. But the same is true with God's creation. Again, none of us are the same. And none of us are going to have the ingredients that are the same. But as long as we allow God to take the ingredients, even though we think that they are ingredients that we're ashamed of or feel guilty about, God, if we give those ingredients to Him, He will make that cookie or pizza or whatever it is, He will make it the best the world has ever seen. We think, you know, and I was sharing with Cheryl, that as I was coming here today, I was thinking about the message, and the Lord just lays that on me just as I hit the junction, and He throws out Jonah, and He throws out Gideon, and He throws out, you know, other different people. Here's a good one, Mary Magdalene. All of these people had a past. All of these people messed up. All of these people, and we know time and time again, all these people that we talk about, characters in the Bible, they messed up. But their ingredients, there were good days and there were bad days. There were bitter days and there were sweet days. But all those ingredients mixed together, God still was able to use them. And He is still able to use you. Do not let Satan come in and lie to you and tell you that you are not usable because of your past, because you are too broken, because you don't want to give it all to God. You know, I remember a testimony a while back that a pastor shared that this guy said, I give my life to the Lord and accept Christ as my Savior, but I would have to change everything, wouldn't I? He says to the pastor. The pastor said, no. He goes, excuse me, let me say this again. I would accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I don't want to give up the stuff I do. And he goes, you don't have to. And he goes, well, wait a minute, you didn't hear me. And he said it the third time. And he goes, what do you mean? You know, finally he says, what do you mean? He goes, believe me, if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, in time, God will work with you on the inside out, and you'll want to. You won't feel like you have to do anything. You'll want to. And that's what God is telling us, that it's okay to take those ingredients and dump them in the mix, because He'll take care of it. Our key thing, our responsibility, is to give it all to Him. Give Him all the bitterness. Give Him all the sweet stuff. Give it all to Him, and He will make it into something awesome. So before we curse the part of a journey or a season in a life, let's stop. Let's stop and look back and look at the amazing God and what He has already done, what He is now doing, and what He is going to do. Amen, Cheryl? Amen. All right. So, now, I'm sure Peter did that. Don't you think that Peter, when Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? I'm sure at first it's like, where are we going with this? Where are we going with this, Lord? He got the idea. He figured it out after the third time where God was going with this. So, there's parts of our journey we might not be proud of now, but God has used them anyway. Now, you might say, but Pastor Bonnie, I was a victim, and I got bitterness, and I got unforgiveness in my heart, and I just can't shake it. I just cannot let it go. Well, I'm going to share something real quick with you here. I was a victim a long, long time ago myself. And my flesh did not, by any means, ever want to give that up. I did not want to forgive. But you know what? The moment I did do it, the weight that came off of me was like none other. And even though your flesh tells you you deserve, you have the right to have this bitterness. You have this right to have this unforgiveness. But the moment you let go of it and you put it in, that's part of those ingredients. The moment you put it in that mix, God takes it from there. And that individual, those individuals that did me wrong, I went to them and I told them that I forgave them. And I'm so thankful I did. So, yes, some of us have experienced situations where we were the victim. In closing, I want you to listen to this, and I would like us to actually pray this together, and I'll have you repeat it. But I'm going to read it to you first, and I want you to repeat it after me. Again, we need to stop. We need to stop and take a moment and say to God this. And I'll read it and I'll have you repeat it in a little bit with me. God, I'm not sure how and I'm not sure why, but God, I'm going to give you all the ingredients that I have. And it's not the recipe of greatness, believe me, Lord. But I believe in your, I believe that in your hands, you can make greatness come from my messed up recipe. And it will be the greatest recipe the world has ever known. Now, I'm going to read it again, and I'll have you guys repeat it after me as a prayer, okay? God, I am not sure how, and I'm not sure why. But God, I'm going to give you all the ingredients I have. And it's not the recipe of greatness, but I believe in your hands you can make greatness come from my messed up recipe. It will be the greatest recipe the world has ever known. So when we see Simon, God sees Peter. When we see failure, God sees potential. When we see past, God sees the future. When we see a mess, God sees a message. God sees us for who we are in Christ. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Don't allow those ingredients to stop you from being in Christ Jesus. Because when once we're in Christ Jesus, just like Peter, God can use us mightily. Not that we, it goes on to say, God sees us for who we are in Christ, not what we were in our sin. God doesn't look at us in our sin. What's he do? He looks at us in his Son. He sees us in his Son. God can take our ingredients, your ingredients, our recipe, and make it into something great. To what? To give him the glory and the honor. Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us in this service today. And as we leave this service today, let us walk in the light of your word as we serve you and bear much, much fruit. We ask, Holy Spirit, bring us to our remembrance today, this message that you've given us, Lord, and let us let it be imparted into us, and let it that we might share it with others. So, Father, as we ask that you take our lives, our journey, our recipe, our ingredients, and make them into something great, as only you can do, to bring glory unto you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let's stand for our closing hymn, number 447. Again, we do have membership class. If you want to participate, just stay here in the room and we'll go through this for a little bit. Thanks, Cheryl. Go ahead.
The refrain for this month is our closing part. Because he lives.
To receive God's blessings. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.